everyone, and welcome back to the Multiverse Fancast. Don't forget, if you guys are listening to us on the go, you can find us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, basically anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also find more of our content on our website, themisfitfaction.com. There you find links to not only this show, but some of our other shows like MF Uncensored and Cinematic Adventures. And don't forget, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, make sure you guys leave a like, leave a comment down below, let us know you're here. And of course, if you're not subscribed to the channel, throw that subscribe on. It's worth it? Question mark? Sometimes? We try our best. Let's just go with that. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Paul. With me via the Zoom studio is Ronnie. Ronnie, how are you today?
I am doing fantastic. Dare I say, I am high on life. Even sky high on life.
Yeah, I hate you so much. Really? How long did you think about that one?
Since we decided that we were going to do this topic or this review.
Long time retro review, man. We haven't done a retro review in a while, so this is actually going to be really exciting. But for those of you guys who have not figured it out from Ronnie's incredibly advanced pun sense of humor, we are talking the 2005 Disney superhero flick, Sky High. Wow, 2005. Let's just marinate on that one. And as Ronnie pointed out before the show, yes, we should have waited till next year to do the 20th anniversary. I know. Let's not let Ronnie know that. I know that he knows that he was right.
It was?
He knows, but anyway.
That was the first. That's like the first time ever I've been right.
Yeah, usually you're left. But I'm. Yeah. I could dad joke too. All right, I could do it.
Good job. I'm proud of you.
I hate you so much. But anyway, all right. So we do have a little bit of news and reviews to go through. Nothing too crazy. So let's start off first. The Crow reboot has released its first trailer and first looks at the brand new movie, and it's different. We'll go with different. So yeah, the original one, it starring Brandon Lee, was is a cult classic. It's considered one of the best superhero movies of all time. Recently, the director of the 1993 version, Alex Proyas, is expressing his concerns about this new movie. So we got our first look. Have you seen the first look of Bill Skarsgård as the Crow?
I have not, actually.
It's different. It's very different, but the original director has not been quiet about what he thinks, that he thinks it disrespects Brandon Lee's legacy. You know, mm-hmm. Brandon Lee died during the filming of that, and they managed to film it in his honor. And just, I didn't want a Crow reboot. Like as when the movie gets closer, we'll definitely do an episode on the original Crow first, and then hopefully talk about the reboot. But were you a fan of the Crow growing up? Did you ever see it?
Obviously I did not see it when it first came out because I was five, right? It was 94. 93. Okay. So yeah.
Totally different. Totally different.
Yeah. Right. Totally different. Yeah. So that's something that I saw only once, many years ago.
Many movies.
But, you know, so I am a fan of it. It is something like we've never really seen before, especially back in 93, when it comes to superhero stuff. It's always so lively and colorful and happy, to say the least, while the Crow is basically a complete opposite of that.
It's almost like a supernatural Punisher movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't hold back in the original version, and Brandon Lee's obviously fantastic in it, and you know, the look became iconic, the whole vibe of the film became iconic. So I could understand some apprehension, not just from the fans, but obviously also the guy who directed the original one was like, hey, you couldn't just leave it alone. You should have just let it go and just moved on. But here we are in the age of reboots and requels and all sorts of things. So we're going to get it. I guess we'll see it.
We'll see it at some point.
We have some other upcoming news. This just got announced this week, so I'm excited about it, and I'm curious to hear Ronnie's thoughts because I'm sure he hasn't heard this yet because he's been busy. They have just announced that they are adding to the DCU lineup. They will be doing a live-action Titans movie.
Ooh,
yeah.
Me likey-ish.
I'm still super apprehensive about the DCU and where they want to go, because I've expressed my issues with the fact that they're going to do Batman and Damian Wayne to start, like, introducing Robin into the DCU. They're going to go with Damian Wayne. I don't have a problem with Damian Wayne per se, but Dick Grayson, we established in our Robin episode, so make sure you guys check that out. We did a whole episode on the character of Robin, from Dick Grayson to Jason Todd, Stephanie Brown, like the whole nine. So make sure you guys check that out. We had a lot of fun with that. Not Stephanie Brown, Carrie Kelly. Stupid. So I was waiting for somebody in the comments was like, all right, got him this time. But
now's my chance.
But no. So I'm apprehensive because is it going to be Damian Wayne in the Titans? Is it going to be is that how they're going to introduce Nightwing and have him lead like an adult set of Titans? I don't know. Yeah. It's up in the air. What are your thoughts on a live action Titans movie?
Again, like the concept of it, I'm excited for. It's just a matter of, like with most things, what characters are going to be in it, who's going to be cast in it, you know, what are they going to exactly do with the Titans as far as the DCU? Like, is it going to be like a one-time thing, or is it going to be like the Justice League in a way where we'll have, you know, your Teen Titans or whatever, as well as the Justice League? So it's just gonna, time will tell. But again, I am excited for it, but I'm also nervous because of what we've gotten lately with DC in general, with the exception of the Batman.
And Peacemaker.
Yes.
So that's another one. Peacemaker, James Gunn offered an update. Apparently, that's not going to be released till next year, which, okay, kind of to be expected. It's a shame because I just watched the movie Ricky Stenicki with him, with John Cena.
And
he's hilarious. I love John Cena. I've not sung enough praises. We did a whole episode on the Oscars for Cinematic Adventures, which, you know, you guys should check out, like, comment, subscribe. But, like, just talking about him being naked on stage was one of the highlights. But so Peacemaker season 2 is happening, but there's a lot of question about where is it going to fit in this new DCU, because, and that's the other thing, like, they're also still going forward with the Amanda Waller series, supposedly. Like, they're still working on a lot of the projects they were going to, and I'd rather they just clean break. As much as I loved Peacemaker and I love season 1 of you know, the show, they may need to just let it go, Elsa. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't get paid money to do this, unfortunately. So I'm excited though for Peacemaker season 2. They say it's going to take place in its own context. I don't even know. I don't know, and I don't pretend to know. But we did have today, at time of recording, which is Wednesday, March 20th, we have finally gotten our release of X-Men 97. It came out today, I believe, and it is 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes, I did see that. I might wait until we get a couple more episodes before I give it a shot, just because I'm like, you know, the original comic was so good, it's like you don't want to taint that. So it's like, do I want to really watch it? So
yeah, I'm excited for it. And now, of course, there's like this big push for Spider-Man 98 to come out. That's what the next thing they want to do. So I tried to rewatch as much X-Men as I could, but I ended up just watching like everything you should know from the X-Men series to get ready for it. But yeah, they're saying the animation's stellar, the story, like the cast, whoever comes back, like they say it's just fantastic. I'm seeing nines and tens and 100% across the board, which is unfortunate because the new Ghostbusters movie came out and it is tanking critic-wise, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, that's a shame. But that's a Cinematic Adventures conversation. But anyway, so that's pretty much it for the news that I wanted to bring up. Any superhero news from you, Ronnie? Like anything that you want to talk about?
No, that's it. I was going, which I knew you were going to say, but if you didn't for whatever odd reason, I was going to bring up X-Men, but you stole my thunder.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, buddy. I'll try not to be so prepared. All right. Let's jump into now. We're going to go through the plot of this movie. Spoilers?
Question mark?
For a movie that came out 19 years ago. And obviously, you know, if you guys haven't watched the movie, like, go watch the movie and then finish the rest of this. I don't know. Almost 20 years. Get over it. But anyway, so we're going to go through the cast, though, first, and we're going to talk some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And this movie was supposed to have sequels and a TV show, and Yeah, I like to, in my brain continuity, I like to think that Sky High led to what's the college in Gen V, Vought University or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I think that that's actually the natural progression, and that's going to be my headcanon until somebody proves otherwise.
Well, I guess it could
Godolkin,
be
Godolkin
it's
University.
adult version, yeah, because this one, yeah, Disney to X-rated.
I don't know. So, all right. Well, we're just.
Well, yes, that is true.
All right, so let's start off with the cast. Now, the main character of this is Will Stronghold, played by Michael Angarano. Now, this was a time where they pushed him into a lot of films. He was in a ton of stuff at this time. So around 2005, that was, Sky High was the big one. And then 2008, I remember him in The Forbidden Kingdom with Jackie Chan and Jet Li. And
Yeah.
he also was in Oppenheimer. Who knew? I didn't until I looked it up just now. But he's been around for a long time. I really liked him in this movie, and I also really liked him in The Forbidden Kingdom, even though it wasn't the movie I was hoping it was going to be,
Yeah.
unfortunately. But that's, again, another conversation. Stop distracting me with cinematic adventures, Ronnie. Jeez.
I'm sorry.
But anyway, so Will Stronghold is the main character. He's a freshman and he's starting his first year at Sky High. Now, the thing about Will Stronghold is he is the son of two famous superheroes, the Commander, played by Kurt Russell, and Jetstream, played by Kelly Preston. Now, already this movie is taking cues from another childhood favorite of mine, and I don't know if you ever remember it. It was a Disney Channel original movie called Up, Up, and Away. Do you remember
Yeah.
that one?
I vaguely I remember it, yeah.
So the movie Up, Up, and Away, this is a weird segue because we could definitely not, I mean, we probably could do an episode for Up, Up, and Away, but it would be a 5-minute episode. And for me, that show came out 5 years prior, and it follows a very similar process, like kind of plot for the most part, where the main character, whose name's Scott Marshall, oh no, not Scott Marshall. Oh, is it? I don't know. Anyway, the main character of Up, Up, and Away, I wasn't prepared for Up, Up, and Away. His parents are like his entire family are favorite superheroes, but he's the only one without powers, and he ends up trying to save the world. And for me, like, this movie could have gone that route, and it still could have worked with Will getting no powers whatsoever. But the whole point of the movie is he's starting off, his parents are famous superheroes, so he's a legacy because I guess in the superhero community, secret identities are like they're real, but not in the superhero community. Everybody knows who his parents are, which is crazy. So we do get throughout the course of the movie, he does eventually inherit his father's super strength and his mother's ability to fly. Because in this, they really establish that superheroes, when they're born from other superheroes, they only have one power. So the commander only has super strength and Jetstream only can fly. So the school nurse played by Cloris Leachman, love Cloris Leachman. She tells him that superhero children can either inherit both powers, one or the other, or there's a chance that he would never get any powers, which it seems like that for the first bit of the movie. What
Yeah.
do you think of Will Stronghold in this movie?
I liked him. He was a little, kind of like a little bit of a baby, I would say,
He's
until he.
14, so.
Yeah, well, you could still have a pair at 14.
Ronnie was very advanced at 14, for those of you guys who don't know.
Yes, I was. No. Maybe. So, but no, I felt like he was like a little bit of like a whiny, bratty kind of baby until he got his superpowers. Then it was like, ooh, look at me. I've become a man now. But I mean, overall, like throughout the whole movie, he started to kind of grow on me. Especially like looking back at it. I'm sure back when I first watched it, I was like, dude is cool. I wish I was him, which who wouldn't want to be a superhero and have superhero parents that are like the quintessential superheroes for their time?
Well, it's also like the amount of pre this movie aged exceptionally well in terms of certain themes, the amount of parental pressure that like they put on it, and even when he gets his powers, I still love the scene. Like it's a very stereotypical mom versus dad like setup
Yeah.
where like the mom's like, you're in trouble because you got into this fight in the cafeteria, and he's like, but I have super strength, and the dad's like, go to the secret lair, and he's like, they get down there, he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, if mom asks, I took away your Xbox. And he's like, I don't have an Xbox. He's like, are you sure? Whips around the Xbox. But like, it very serious. But like, one of my favorite scenes is in the very beginning where he's pretending that he has superpowers. So he's in a bench and he's like, ah, I can't do it. And he hears his dad coming up the stairs. So he tries to throw on all these plates.
Yeah.
And the dad takes one and, you know, they're chatting. And then he's like, oh, here you go. And he throws it as he's leaving. And the kid catches it. And he's like, oh, God. And he falls backwards and the bed shatters. Like, stuff like that. Again, teenage pressure, high school pressure. You know, Will does succumb to it at one point. So halfway through the movie, he develops powers. And we'll talk about kind of the sidekick versus hero type mentality that the school has. And he moves into the popular crowd. And at first, he, like, tries to bring his sidekick friends with him, but it just doesn't work out. So he goes through a lot of growth, and it does work, and I really do enjoy his story. We'll briefly talk about Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston as the Commander and Jetstream, because they're not in the movie that much, considering that they are the biggest actors of the time that are in this film.
Yeah.
You know, they follow the stereotypical, like, Clark Kent-type disguises. They're real estate agents. They're superheroes. The dad collects trophies. There's an extended scene or deleted scene where it shows the two of them meeting to defeat Royal Pain for the first time. And it's like, it's a long sequence, but they only show like bits and pieces of it. What did you think of the Commander and Jetstream?
Oh yeah. Like you said, like they were just there. Like it was almost like they were there as like comedic relief in a way, even though, I mean, the whole movie is, you know, has comedy in it. Not like a super serious superhero movie. But I mean, like, again, like overall, it was just they were in there to throw a little quick little jabs at each other, you know. And then obviously, once he has his powers, you know, like you said, there's that whole scene of them going back and forth with each other. And again, they were just there. I would have liked to have seen maybe a little bit more, again, because you have such big names for that time, even though Kurt Russell is still, I would argue, he's still a big name now.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so again, they were there. They did their job. They served as mommy and daddy, you know, and that was about it.
Pretty much. All right. We got a young Danielle Panabaker as Layla Williams, a pacifistic botanokinetic. Basically, she could control plants. Thank you. And she's Will's childhood best friend. And of course, you know, eventually we find out that she's got a huge crush on him. He's totally oblivious. And spoiler alert, they do get together in the end. But it's wild to think Danielle Panabaker from The Flash, who was on all seasons of The Flash, as Layla. And I liked her in this film. She was the voice of reason. She was the mature one, but she was also very vulnerable in terms of how she feels about Will. And then she gets a little childish where she's trying to make Will jealous. And I like her arc. All the characters have very solid arcs and they all make sense. They're not too forced. They all kind of, again, make sense, I guess is the best way to say it. What do you think about Danielle Panabaker's Layla?
Again, kind of like what you said, like she might have been one of the bright spots in this movie, especially since you really didn't have any names other than, you know, obviously, like we say, Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston. And she kind of like was a standout, at least to me, when it comes to acting and everything like that. She kind of was the one to stand out, along with our villain, too.
You want to talk about the villain?
We can talk about the villain,
All right, Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Gwen Grayson, of course, named after Gwen Stacy and Dick Grayson. Nice little nod there. But this is the first role I remember her from. And I do love me some Mary, some Ramona Flowers.
Yeah.
But she's playing like the love interest, the popular girl who kind of takes them out under her wing. But at the same time, you find, so she's a technopath. She can control technology, which is a cool power. I actually do enjoy that power. Yes. But we find out later on that she is actually a de-age version of the Jetstream and the Commander's arch nemesis, the Pacifier, or Royal Pain, who used a device called the Pacifier, and it backfired during a confrontation with them. And she was actually de-aged into a baby and then was raised by her minion Stitches, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
And do you know who does the voice of Royal Pain?
No. Who is it?
Patrick Warburton.
That's right. Yes. I was like, I hear the voice in my head as we're talking about it. I just forgot what his name was.
So we find out about 2/3 of the way into the movie that she's the bad guy. And at first you think that she's just a descendant of this girl, Sue Tenney, who became Royal Pain. And mm-hmm. we then find out that she was actually, well, first of all, I love the scene where she reveals herself and her armor pops on and the commander's like, Royal Pain is a girl. He goes, yes, I'm a girl, you fool. And her plan was to de-age all the superheroes and then raise them as supervillains. And another great moment is when she reveals that she's actually this DH person to Will. And he's like, oh my God, I made out with an old lady.
Yeah.
It's a little creepy. It's creepy as hell. I like the effects. You know, obviously she gets like a kind of super suit. They do a lot of practical effects in this movie. And it, for the most part, it works. Some of it's not aged particularly well, but again, 20 years. What were your thoughts on Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Gwen Grayson?
Again, like I said, I think to me she might have been my favorite character slash characters in the movie. You know, and the way she portrays, obviously, you know, the quote unquote the good girl in the beginning, but you always kind of knew she had some sort of like ulterior motive to her, because it was like, you know, the superhero and, you know, the good looking one in the school, the popular, you know, girl in the school is going for this
the freshman nerd.
Like, freshman that no one really liked, but now that he's got powers, everyone loves, you know, loves him. So you kind of always knew, like I said, she has some sort of ulterior motive, which obviously she did.
We find out, I liked her. I liked the character. I liked, you know, everything. Again, a lot of the story is not that advanced, but at the same time, they put a lot of thought into it. And I'm going to talk about some of like the more, the nicer touches of this film in a minute, but once we get through the cast, because we're also kind of doing the plot as we do the cast, so we don't have to do them separately. Now we have Stephen Strait as War and Peace. Now, first of all, I love this movie is quite the love letter to comics, and the fact War and Peace, like War and Peace, is awesome. And I love his effects, his fire effects for the most part have stood the test of time. But basically, he plays the son of a supervillain named Baron Battle, who's in jail because he was arrested by the commander. His mom's a superhero that we never find out her name. And he creates a rivalry with Will because, his, you know, Will's dad put his dad in prison.
Yeah.
And the cafeteria fight is fantastic. I really do enjoy the cafeteria fight. One of my favorite bits from it, because I love when something happens off camera and then comes onto camera. It cuts to the scene of the gym teacher and the science teacher. And the gym teacher's like, what if I told you it's not her twin? It's her evil twin. And he's like, this Friday, you say? And then War and Peace goes flying through. And then they pay that scene off later on where the doctor, like the scientist guy, has both twins like sitting with him at the Chinese restaurant. And the coach is like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Again, nice little payoff. I really did enjoy what they did with Warren. You know, again, a natural story where he only gets friendlier with Layla because he wants to, you know, stick it to Will. And then eventually they become friends and they put it aside. And it's just, it all really works. And I like Stephen Strait. That he was another actor that they really tried to push for a little bit. He did this. He did like 10,000 BC was next.
Yeah.
And he did The Covenant. I love The Covenant. It's a terrible movie, but you got Sebastian Stan was in The Covenant, like Taylor Catch, this guy. Like it was, well, maybe we'll talk about that movie at some point because that was a fun movie. But going down the list, because now we're just going to go through the list, because now we're getting there. DJ Daniels as Ethan Bank slash Popsicle, a sidekick who can melt.
Yeah.
That's it. And I like how a lot of them just kind of got nicknames that turned into like their superhero names. So let's also establish that Sky High system is you're either sorted into superhero or hero support slash sidekick.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting dynamic that they then attack towards the end. But we also have Kelly Vitz as Magenta. She can shapeshift into just a guinea pig.
Yep.
And that's it. And she ends up saving the day, even though it does bother me that she saves the day by getting that one device that only she could get to. Makes you wonder how Royal Pain got it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, I digress. I'm not going to look for too much continuity and sense in this movie. Yeah. Nicholas Braun as Zach, who can glow in the dark, which I love it. Like, he's like, I have the best powers ever. Like, you're going to see, don't worry. And then he gets onto like the audition stage and he's just like claps his hands and he's like, I'm doing it. They're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm glowing. Maybe if you just close your eyes and just kind of like, because that's another thing, they have to audition for where they're going to go by demonstrating powers. Let's see. We have Malika Hawk and Kadashi Hawk as Penny, who is another senior at the school and Gwen's friend who can make copies of herself. I like that they used twins because it made it a lot easier for that effect.
Because
that they did it well for the most part. It's only when they're creating the clones that it kind of looks a little wonky.
Yeah.
We have Jake Sandvig as Lash. I can't believe that in 2005, the same time that the first Fantastic Four came out, Disney made a movie with a guy who could stretch and made it more convincing than the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
They did so well in this because unfortunately stretching abilities look just really bad.
Yeah.
There's no way you can't uncanny valley that. Like, it's just, but they did a good job in this movie with it, surprisingly. It was mostly arms and legs for the most part, but they do pretzel him at one point, which is pretty funny. But I liked it. And then you had, let's see, Will Harris as Speed, the portly bully who runs at super speeds.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. Again, this movie's stupid clever. Linda Carter as Principal Powers. Linda Carter, Wonder Woman herself, and she can transform into a comet. She has her little phrase, comets away, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell as Tommy Boomkowski, the Coach Boomer, or Sonic Boom, and he can yell really loud. And they have some fun with that.
Yeah.
And of course, Kevin Heffernan as Ron Wilson, bus driver. And he's the bus driver, and they make a point to mention that both his parents were superheroes and he never got powers until the end when he falls into a vat of toxic waste. That's again another great payoff.
Yeah.
Is in the middle of the movie when they're like, Will doesn't have any powers, like the parents are talking about it. He's like, I mean, what if we could drop him in a tank of vat of like toxic waste, and the mom's like, what are you talking about? He's like, I know, where would he ever find a vat of toxic waste? It's like, stop.
Yeah.
It's just so, it's again, this movie's stupid clever, and that's why it has such a good cult following.
Yeah.
Let's see. We mentioned Cloris Leachman as Nurse Specs, Jim Rash as Mr. Grayson / Stitches, and you actually see him several times as like in his civilian form before he changes into Stitches, but he's Royal Pain's sidekick and dad.
Yeah.
My favorite character in the movie, Dave Foley as Mr. Jonathan Boy / All-American Boy. I loved his bits. He was really funny, like showing them how to do like quick changes and utility belts. Like, he was the Robin stereotype. And what's even funnier is the commander doesn't remember him. He's like, I had a sidekick once. He saved my life one time. Mr. What's his name? And like, he's like, did your dad ever talk about me? What about your mom? How's your mom doing? Because he's apparently in love with the mom, which is let's see. I'm still running down. Kevin McDonald as Professor Medulla, the mad science teacher. Lauren Bergman as Big Larry, the little nerd who turns into a giant rock monster. That's one effect that has not aged particularly well, but I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
And that's, we have Dustin Ingram as Carbon Copy Kid, who has shape-shifting powers, and Nicole Malgarini as Freeze Girl. That's it. So the movie rolls around, and it does follow beat for beat kind of what you're expecting. You know, they find out the Royal Pain's a bad guy. They work together. And unfortunately, Disney Channel also had a habit of showing a lot of behind the scenes stuff with their movies at the time. So like, before I went into the movie, I knew he was going to get powers because they did all these behind the scenes shots of him like and flying. But for me, like, this movie is so stupid good. Now I kind of want to watch it now.
Yeah, I do too, not gonna lie.
So they do some great work with like superhero tropes, with the, you know, good guy, bad guy, parental pressure, high school in itself. And I love the colors.
Mm-hmm.
The red, the blue, the white, they constantly are showing very super heroic colors, and they match, right? Like, so Lash, the stretchy guy, he wears stripes. Like, that's his thing. Will is constantly wearing red and blue because, you know, obviously he's the hero. Layla's constantly wearing green. Zach's wearing yellow. War and Peace is wearing black and red a lot. So they do. And again, that's comic books. Like, this movie was ahead of its time in terms of the comic book colors and just the shots and the joy of all of it. And I really, man, I love this movie.
Yeah, I do too. It almost was like, I don't want to say, because I don't want to give people like a bad taste, but to me it was almost like a spoof movie in a way. Where it's like making fun of the superhero genre.
I like homage. Homage is gonna be my
That's gonna be your word for it.
Word of choice.
You know, because like it's like, you know, it does the whole making fun of this, you know, the sidekicks, because they're never as good as the superheroes are. They don't really know each other. And then yeah, whatever. And then like the play, and then like the names they use, like how it's like, oh, that makes sense because this is their power, so that's what it is. Like, it's kind of like, to me, kind of like poking fun in a way at like some superhero tropes that we've had. You know, I know it wasn't maybe necessarily intended that way. I could be wrong. But that's kind of like the vibe that I get now looking back on it. Like, watching it when it came out, different story, you know, like,
oh yeah, totally,
you know, different. It's like, oh, this is just, you know, a comedy superhero, you know, because it was created and written by the creators of Kim Possible.
Oh yeah, Kim Possible. I love Kim Possible.
Yeah,
that was one of the few shows that I really shipped two of the main characters pretty hard. I was like, Kim and Ron, let's do this. We all know, we all know the business. But so this movie, at the time it came out, it did fairly well with the critics, about like a 6 out of 10 for the most part.
Yeah.
On a budget of $35 million, it walked away with 86.4. And for Disney at the time in 2005, that's low, right? Even though they basically doubled their budget, which you think about that now, like to have a movie double its budget anymore, like it's wild. So in November of 2016, they announced that there was a sequel to Sky High that was in early development stages.
Yeah.
In 2019, the original director, Mike Mitchell, revealed earlier plans to make a franchise, but due to the film's less than stellar box office performance, they decided they weren't going to do it. The sequel was supposed to be titled Save You, Save University, and feature the characters from Sky High graduating from high school and attending college. There were also plans to make a TV series, which the main actors, save for Kurt Russell and Kelly Preston, had all signed on to reprise their roles. That's wild. In March of 2024, so recently, wow, like this just happened. Who knew?
Yeah.
Mark Mitchell expressed that he still had interest in doing the sequel, but pointed out that since Disney bought Marvel, they only see them as their superhero output, which I can understand. He did state that he would love to do a Sky High inspired project set in the MCU, which I would like, but unfortunately, I think the boys beat them to it.
Yeah. Like he said, it's going to be kind of hard because Disney owns, you know, Sky High. So it might, I don't know what it would take to do some sort of sequel. Or do you just, like everybody else is doing, do you just reboot it, but not call it Sky High, but basically have it called Sky High? You know, like,
I'd be okay if they rebooted it or did like a sequel where either they go with like the actual original actors now playing the adult characters, and you know, like change them up, like, you know, Michael Angarnato's playing the commander or something like that. But honestly, I think they still could do a sequel. It's definitely possible. This film does have a little bit of a cult following, which is awesome. I love hearing stuff like that. But for me, I hope that something does materialize from it. But in the meantime, Star City rating for Sky High. Do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. I'll give this, I would, so at the time when it came out, I would definitely say it was a 4. But like, I know if I was to watch it now and take what I know now, it would probably be more towards like the 3-3.5 area.
Right.
You know, it is a good movie. You know, like you said, like some of the stuff still holds up to today's standards, I would say. But some of the stuff just does not. You know, and it has its good little quips here and there in it, you know. So, yeah, I would say like a 3-3.5.
All right. I'm going to give it a 3.5 to a 4. I really like this movie. I liked it when it first came out. Obviously, this was also right before the superhero boom. I feel like this movie, like I said, was a little bit ahead of its time. But I'm glad that it's finally starting to get a little bit of recognition. But we would love to hear your thoughts. So leave a comment down below if you guys are watching on YouTube. Let us know what your thoughts are, whether it's a good movie, bad movie, Star City rating of your own if you'd like. We'd love to hear from you guys. Speaking of hearing from you guys, Fan Feedback Friday. We can't forget it this time. So this week, Earth is under attack from the Dark Phoenix, aka Jean Grey. Which of the following heroes would you choose to protect you? All right, two heroes that you get to choose. Your choices are Thor, Green Lantern, Flash, Iron Man, Black Panther, Batman, Wonder Woman, and the Scarlet Witch. Now, if, on our Facebook page, if you guys check it out, make sure you guys leave a comment, like it, all that stuff. We have the overwhelming consensus seems to be Batman and Scarlet Witch. Though that's we have like six votes for them. But we actually, one of our friends, Kimberly, she actually wrote that nobody would be able to defeat Dark Phoenix, which is fair. Dark Phoenix is one of those characters that's like a savage. But Batman for his intelligence and Scarlet Witch because of how powerful she is. I can see that. That'd be a fun fight, Scarlet Witch versus Jean Grey. Ooh.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun, actually. But if you guys want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. All you have to do is go to our Facebook page every Friday between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m., quote unquote, Eastern Standard Time. You guys will find it there. So make sure you guys leave a like, leave a comment. Make sure you guys also follow the page. Check us out on all of our social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, all of it. So make sure you guys check out the Multiverse Fancast or the Misfit Faction for all of your Misfit wants, needs, and complaints. But anyway,
desires.
And I didn't want to say desires. I'm not comfortable with that sort of thing. But I think that is going to wrap us up for today. As always, I'm Ball.
I'm Ronnie.
And we'll be back in a flash.
See ya.